Hi, HR Nation, it's Chris Rainey. Welcome to HR Leaders, the show where we interview today's most successful and innovative HR practitioners 5 days a week. Today, we have a very special guest, someone I've been wanting on the show for quite a long time. We're joined by Wendy Murphy, EMEA Director of Global Clients for LinkedIn Talent Solutions and former Senior HR Director. Wendy, welcome to the show. How are you?
Fantastic to be here. I'm wonderful. Thank you so much for inviting me.
So I feel like I've been stalking you on LinkedIn for the longest time. So it's been great to have you on the show. So before we jump in, Wendy, tell our listeners a little bit about yourself personally and your journey to where we are today.
Yeah, so I suppose let me bring you back a good few years to the very beginning when I was studying. So my intention was to work in business. So I studied commerce, French and German. Kind of fancied myself living in Brussels, working for some organization internationally. And then I did an internship in my third year of university in a HR department, and that was the game changer. And so from that point on, I'm probably one of the few people in the HR profession in that rarefied space that actually wanted and chose to be in HR. So my whole career from there on in, the last 18 years, has been in HR.
Amazing.
And then just recently moved into the client side of the business.
Yeah, you can't skip on that bit. Tell us a bit more about that now and the new role that you've now taken in within LinkedIn and how that decision was made and the process that you went through.
So the decision's probably been going on for about 3 years. So I had a great career conversation with my manager at the time, Pat Waters, the CHRO that you have interviewed previously. Amazing. And we talked about what I wanted in the future. And that is, in the long term, probably over the next 10 years, to be a HR consultant and running my own business. And so we talked about a couple of different avenues to get there. I was on track for vice president, and so I could keep on going that route, or I could move into the commercial side of the business. So when I'm selling my services to clients in the future, there's maybe some opportunity there. And so I kind of noodled on that for a little while, didn't do a whole lot about it. And then one of the leaders of sales came and approached me and said, hey, we'd really like you to consider this. And I said no for the first time for personal reasons. My father wasn't well at the time, and I chose family over work for a period of time. Mm-hmm. Which I encourage everybody to think about.
Sure, because
sometimes you're put in those awkward positions. It came around a second time a year later, and I also declined it. This time more from being very transparent, it was more of an imposter syndrome situation. Mm. And it's just like,
everyone can relate to that in some way.
Yeah, it's just like, I've been in HR for 18 years and I love it, and I know it inside and backwards. Do I really want to do this, and am I up for it, and will I fail? And then the third time it came around, I was like, right, that's it. Third time lucky. And so, yeah, so I think the benefit is, so LinkedIn sells to people like me, HR professionals. We sell products and services that are geared towards the talent lifecycle. So what better person to have in a senior sales role than somebody that understands that lifecycle?
I think, it's really cool because most HR leaders don't have that opportunity. They don't work for companies that have that. So you're just in a unique position with a fantastic solution. And the solutions that LinkedIn offer are evolving now.
Yes, exactly. So we're moving more into being a pure end-to-end human capital management service provider. And so, having people like me that understand all of that and can converse with their clients in a very different way, in a very authentic way, I think is definitely the way forward. And interestingly, you don't see it so often. You see a lot of business people moving into senior HR roles, but you don't see HR people moving as often into the business. So hopefully I'm a trailblazer for others to follow. Fingers crossed.
I encourage everyone to do that. I think it's fantastic. And one of the things that I loved about our first conversation we had, which I hope you can share with some of the listeners, is you, even as the EMEA HR director, senior HR director, you worked with the product team, didn't you?
Yes.
Quite often.
Yeah.
So can you share more about that?
I think that was also helpful in the sales leaders reaching out to me about the opportunity. So I suppose we're blessed working at LinkedIn and that we get to play around with all of these tools and services all the time. And so we built this program called P2P, where it was product to people or people to product, where they, the product team, would work with us in the HR function to first and foremost get feedback on what we needed to make our lives better. And then secondly, when they were introducing new tools, we got to beta test them before they went for full general launch, and so that they could, you know, get some of those bugs out of the system. So I was doing that for quite a long period of time. We also have a philosophy called LOL, LinkedIn on LinkedIn. So we only use LinkedIn tools and services to do our HR work in terms of talent acquisition. But beyond that, of course, we use lots of other products and tools. But yeah, so having a voice at that product table was another reason that I suppose it felt very natural to move on to the client side. And now I get to do that at scale, where I have customers talking to me all the time about this works, this would be better if you switch this on, and I can feed that back directly into the product team. So it's
Now being on the other side, obviously a lot of people probably have been in your position before, and it's a tough decision to make, right? Because if I'm correct, you told me before you almost took a step back before taking a step forward. Is that correct?
I have taken a step back. So, yeah. So I was senior director running the second largest region for LinkedIn, and on track towards that vice presidentship. And I am now a director. So I've gone almost like two steps backwards from a pure grading and leveling perspective. But I believe that that's to go very quickly forward again. And for me, it doesn't really matter what you call me, what my title is. It's more about the skills that I'm learning, the opportunities that this creates for me in the long run. And both personally and professionally, I'm learning every day. So it's making me a better professional, I think.
It's funny because, you know, when we first get into our careers, that's always what we look for, is that, you know, that going up that career ladder. Yeah. And I always aimed at that. And I realized early on that it really wasn't what was motivating me and what made me get up in the morning and go to work. I remember when I first became a director, and I'd been working for years and years to sort of get to that whole, not even for anything else, but just to have the title of director, if I'm honest. And when I got there, I realized that it was the journey of getting there that I loved the most. It was the learning, the experiences, the failures, everything that was got me there, which was the exciting part. Does that make sense? And then when I got to that level, I was like, okay, I'm here now, but now I want more. I want more learning. I want to stretch myself even further. And sometimes you do have to take a step back or sideways to do that. And I think all of the successful HR leaders that I speak to move out of HR. They work in supply chain for a few years. They work in sales. They work in other functions. And when they end up becoming a CHRO of their organization, they're so much more well-rounded. And they don't just understand the business because they've read some textbooks or read what's going on. They've lived in the business. So I think it's almost vital in this day and age.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think for me, it's like full circle. So I started with the studying of business. Mm. Now I'm in that commercial world where I'm making decisions that affect million-dollar deals. And I'm able to kind of have a very different lens. Also, sitting on the other side of the business, you know, I'm experiencing HR from a very different vantage.
Yeah.
So, you know, I meet with my successor, every couple of months, we have lunch together, and I'm giving her feedback on what I think is working and not working from a management perspective. Mm. So it's fascinating just to see, the two sides of the world. Absolutely.
It's almost like you mentioned your future goal is to open your own business consulting. You're almost doing your own internal consulting now as well.
Yes, just a little bit.
Absolutely. With your own team, well. So in the new role, what's been your biggest sort of learning curve or challenge so far? Because obviously it's a big jump into a completely new world.
Yeah, and it is very, very different. So I think on a practical level, the biggest learning for me was forecasting, managing to a number, the levers that drive up and down your revenue streams. So I think that has been the biggest challenge on that front. In terms of conversations with clients, I think I've just been fascinated by the similarities between the industries. Oftentimes, when you're a senior leader in HR, you're so caught up in the challenges that you have in your day-to-day life, and you think that yours are unique, but actually,
I actually love highlighting that to our members as well, because they all think they're special, and they've all got this channel. Like, guys, you all tell me the same thing.
And it's just more and more fascinating the more I conversate. And it doesn't matter how large or how small the companies are. It's the war for talent in terms of acquisition and employer branding. It's about how do you learn on scale. It's about how do we do workforce planning and analytics in a better way, and how do we leverage all of this AI and technology and data? And everybody wants to be digital, but everybody has a different understanding of what digital is. So it's fascinating for me, and I'm learning a lot in that space.
Yeah, or in that space is probably the biggest challenge that we're hearing from our members and our listeners as well, right? The digital transformation piece. And, you know, when you think about HR 5-10 years ago, no one was talking about predictive prescriptive analytics and AI and blockchain and HR. You hear about that now and you're like, what? If I would have told you that 10 years ago, you'd feel like crazy, right? But now that's a real part of HR. And I know something that you're very passionate about is actually talking about making sure that HR talks in the right language to the business as well. Could you share your thoughts around that? Because I know
Absolutely. Yeah, and I think that's always been my philosophy, which is the more commercially focused you can be as a HR professional, the more the business is going to value you and your function. And I think the big game changer for me, you know, being in the HR function was when I started partnering with a data scientist and started leveraging data and telling stories or, you know, creating narratives in a different way using data and insights. And it changed how, you know, I was at the time supporting a CEO. It changed the conversations that we had from being quite, I would say, operational and tactical at times, you know, strategic on and off, to a completely different strategic level, where we're forecasting and predicting, you know, the outcomes and the revenues of the business for a 3 to 5 year period. And I'm talking in his language. And I think the more HR professionals that can do that, the better. I think there's a couple of challenges within that for our HR professionals, which is, one, there's so much data. You know, which piece of the data
that was going to be my next question, by the way. This is almost overwhelming now. Where do you focus your time and attention? So how do you get through that noise and know this is where what's going to add the most value to our business? How did you come to that conclusion?
So I think the first step is actually step away from the data altogether.
Okay.
And think about, you know, what are you trying to achieve? What is the business trying to achieve? And then when you know what the answer to that is, then you go and say, okay, what data sources will give me the data insights to help validate and you know, our plan to get to that point. And I think having analytics, you know, in terms of, I don't know, different companies call them different things, we call them people analytics, having those data scientists that think very differently to you, or other people in your team that think very differently, to challenge your thought process around that is really helpful. Once you then have all these various data points, what I love to do is do a storyboard. So it's a very marketing concept, but literally storyboarding what is the narrative I want to present to the CEO or the senior leadership team, or what's my business case. And then once I have that built out, then it's about bringing that into a PowerPoint slide deck or whatever, you know, your particular company's format, preferred format is. But it's not being afraid of it. You know, I often talk to my peers, and my friends are all in HR, and they just are so fearful of the data. And what if I'm asked lots of questions about that and I don't know the answer, I'll get found out. And, you know, I've got like 5 different systems and none of them are integrated. So how do I, you know, pull that all together? And I think sometimes we overcomplicate it, and there's no need to overcomplicate it. It's actually quite simple. So don't be afraid of it. You know, think about what you're trying to solve. What is that problem or that business initiative? And work from there. That would be my kind of big tips.
Fantastic. And I just want to go back to the point you mentioned about storyboarding, which I think is very important, because a lot of times we have the data, but then we don't know how to tell it in a story that the business can understand.
Yeah.
And convey that.
Yeah, like in my lifetime in HR, you know, a lot of myself included have just done reports. We pull a headcount report.
Yes, that's what I mean. Yeah.
Report, and we just plop the number onto a page and we say we're there. We're going.
What does that even mean, though? Don't necessarily.
Exactly. And so where we need to evolve to is, you know, we almost need to become internal marketeers for our
own. Have to. Yeah.
And you know, taking those data points and building it into a story, because that's what resonates with people. You know, if you can get people at the heartstrings versus just the intellectual, you know, strings, that's where you get the buy-in. And so I'm a big proponent of storyboarding and making those narratives much more punchy and personal.
Mm. What did you do for your own personal development in this period when you first started, you know, looking at using data to empower yourself and the team?
So I think the most impactful thing that I did was I spent a lot of time with data scientists. Mm-hmm. I spent a lot of time with them looking at various different problems that I was trying to solve as a HR business leader, and getting them to ask me questions about that, because they just think in such a different way to me. And they're so, you know, logical and analytical in their flow of how they think, that it got me to start thinking differently about how I was positioning things and what did I actually need? Then I also spent a lot of time talking to my peers in other companies that were maybe a little bit more progressive. So I talked to my colleagues in Google. I spent a bit of time talking to my colleagues in HubSpot and Dropbox and a few of the other tech companies in our kind of talent space, and getting some insights from them on, in terms of what they've learned, where they went wrong along that journey. And sometimes I think one of the biggest learnings that I had as part of that conversations was around trying to go to.
This episode of the HR Leaders Podcast was brought to you by our friends at Achievers. Two-thirds of employees have one foot out the door in 2024, and the top reason to job hunt? Better compensation. But money isn't everything. The Achievers 2024 Engagement and Retention Report reveals that employees crave emotional salary too. What does emotional salary mean? And what are the ways to increase emotional salary to engage and retain top talent? Learn more about motivating your employees beyond just pay by visiting achievers.com/HR leaders. Again, that's achievers.com/HR leaders. Let's get back to the episode.
Too fast, too quickly. And so I just try to phase it and take it in bite-sized chunks in accordance with LinkedIn's journey. So they were kind of some of the things I did. Did a lot of reading as well.
And
a lot of podcasts and stuff online as well.
Fantastic. And just out of curiosity, were those data scientists, were they people that already existed in of course, you're such a, your organization where you probably have that talent that already exists in the business. So you
They were already in LinkedIn, but they were servicing a different part.
So that's what I mean. Time, yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, yeah. So we didn't have people analytics or talent analytics at the very start of when I joined LinkedIn. Mm-hmm. But that came later. At the beginning, I just had one guy and that was it. And that was all it took. But we had lots of other data scientists that support our sales functions, our marketing organizations, and obviously our engineering functions. So yeah, so I was kind of blessed. If you don't have those in your company, they do exist in lots of other companies. So just go connect with them on LinkedIn, reach out, ask questions.
Yeah.
Because this is a road that many other people have taken. So instead of recreating the wheel, just, you know, go and ask, how did you do it? Mm-hmm. And get some of those insights.
Yeah. And a lot of times, as you said in the beginning, these people do exist in different departments, mm-hmm. you know, in finance, in marketing.
Exactly.
And those skill sets are fully transferable. So you can bring those guys in.
And again, there's sometimes a fear around being vulnerable, you know, and
to go and ask for help.
And particularly when you're a senior leader. So, you know, I was sitting with individuals that were maybe four or five layers beneath where I was at that particular point in time. But at the end of the day, it doesn't really matter. They are gurus. They're experts at what they do. And, you know, you have to get over yourself and get over that ego. And just
it's great advice.
You know, what's the right thing to do for you, for your career, and for the company that you're operating in at the time? And there is no way away from this. You know, AI and data is the future of HR.
It's here to stay.
We need to get on that bus or it's going to leave the house.
Fantastic. We spoke before about sort of common HR myths and misconceptions that exist, and there's quite a few of them now. How do we debunk some of these HR myths and misconceptions that are sort of attached to, or stigmatized towards HR?
Yeah, I think the age old one has always been that we're quite fluffy and that we're all about feeling. Yeah. And that's, you know, that is true for a certain section of us, and you know, EQ is something that a lot of us in the HR profession really lean into, and that's why we've been successful. But it's about marrying your EQ with your IQ. And I think in this, you know, fourth kind of industrial revolution that we're in right now, it's really important that we leverage the data. So going back to the previous points, you know, to debunk and demystify what HR is, it's about speaking the language of the business, and the language that everybody's speaking right now is all about data. And so, you know, in the past, we had a problem trying to prove our value because a lot of the data points that we'd have wouldn't be very tangible. So how do you measure employee experience, you know, or how do you measure candidate sentiment, et cetera? We can do all that now. We have various different technologies and tools that can help us provide those data points. So let's grab it with both hands and leverage that to make sure that our CEOs and our senior leaders understand the power of HR and the importance of talent. And I think a lot of CHROs and also CEOs are getting that connectivity now. I think CEOs are surrounding themselves with really strong HR professionals because they know the future is talent. And so I'm glad that we're in that place, but we as HR professionals need to do more to push it as well.
Mm-hmm. we're seeing that now more and more often. It used to be the CEO and the CFO.
Yes.
And especially when I first started, like I remember that was very, and now you're finally seeing CEO, the CHRO, or CEO, the Chief Talent Officer.
Yes.
You know, and the Chief Talent Officer role didn't even exist 3 or 4 years ago. I don't remember many Chief Talent Officers being around. And now it's sort of a new role. And in the future, it will be, I think, more. And one thing I'm excited about, which people need to realize, you said HR leaders are really avoiding sort of data as well, but that's really what empowers you.
Yes.
You finally have, like, every function's gone through their own digital transformation. We've seen supply chain go through, we've seen sales and marketing, and now it's HR's turn.
Yeah, I think there's a few things within that. I think one, we need to become social leaders. So, you know, we need to act as role models for the rest of our HR function around engaging with social media and engaging with data and engaging with technology. So if you're not doing that today, you know, you need to lean into that. The second thing I would say in terms of opening up those opportunities for the more senior sales roles and indeed into the moving into the commercial role is understanding the end to end of the business. And you start with your own function. So if you're in talent acquisition, get to understand what they do in learning. If you're in learning, get to understand what they do in employee experience or in workforce analytics. The more you understand how everything connects together, the better those stories you can build. And then equally, when you're going to the business, the more you understand how that business truly works, go sit and spend a day sitting beside somebody in customer services, or go out with a salesperson and ask, can you go in, on a client visit and just sit and observe? It's amazing what you can learn. And I think oftentimes we just become very back office and we sit in a bubble and we think we're great and everything is hunky-dory. But, you know, there's so much more that's happening out in that world. And the more you can get exposure to that, the better professional you can become.
Mm. You mentioned just briefly beforehand about the marketing piece. And that's one of the things that I think that LinkedIn's done incredible with the HR team. Pat's a perfect example. Mm. Of really being a face of the business.
Yeah.
And I remember I always used to watch her videos when you used to do your, what's the big event you guys do again? I always forget.
Talent Connect.
I don't know, I forgot that. I've seen it so many times. And she'd always sort of come out on stage and, you know, as Chief Talent Officer at CHR and deliver this incredible speech as well. And I used to get excited about it. I even work at LinkedIn. But I'd see the video and it would make you
yes, go, oh. Yes, Chris, you can come work with us anytime.
Or do you know what, right? I actually got offered a sales role for you guys many, many years ago. But I had to move to Ireland, to Dublin, and I didn't really want to move. So many years ago, yeah, because I was like, of course, I'd love to sell this solution because I know every single HR person out there. So I think I'll be perfectly positioned for this as well. But it didn't quite happen. But it, watching those videos and all of the times that Pat's spoken at events, and she's really, you know, I know, and she told me on the podcast, which I was really surprised that she initially didn't want to do that. Mm-hmm. She was like, she's quite scared. Like when Jeff came to her and said, you know, I want you to lead, you know, to build your own personal brand. Yeah. And have focus on that. She was like, "Well, why?" Like, but now when you see, she's like, "What it's done for her and her career is absolutely incredible."
Yeah, and it's she. I mean, she's an introvert. She and I are very different in that she's an introvert. I'm an extrovert.
I'd never know that, by the way, by hearing her speak and.
Yeah, but I mean, it's really well practiced. I mean, she's amazing at what she does. But I think it's not for everybody, right? Not everybody feels comfortable putting themselves out there and being on stage and doing all of that. You know, I've had to learn how to do that too, but I get great energy from it. But I think we're just really lucky to work in a company that really values HR. I mean, I've worked in a variety of companies, and, you know, I've lived in 6 different countries around the world. This is the first company I've experienced where it truly values people. You know, talent is the number one operating priority, and they really mean it. And so, you know, giving us those opportunities as HR professionals to step out of our comfort zone, you know, go represent the company and talk about all elements of it. So even the speaking engagements I do, you know, I often talk about things that are nothing to do with HR. You know, I'm talking about our sales cycles, or I'm talking about our particular products, or something of that nature. So we're just really lucky to be where we are. And I would encourage, if there's any leaders out there that are not in HR, embrace your HR partners. They have a lot to offer. There's so much value there that you may have not unlocked at this point in time.
So for those of our listeners that haven't really looked into LinkedIn Talent Solutions, give us an overview of the areas that you're most excited about that you guys are working on right now, and the areas that you can help these guys with.
Yeah, so there's a lot of exciting things. I think the biggest one is our newest product, which is called Talent Insights, which basically gives you access to our platform. So if you're a client already, you will probably have had an account manager. You ask that account manager for reports and data insights, etc. You don't have to do that anymore because you can do it yourself and you can dice and slice that data to your heart's content. And what it's really helpful with is if you're trying to figure out how to grow your business and you're looking at a geolocation strategy or your workforce analytics, or you're trying to figure out who your competitors are in the talent space so that you can, you know, develop your EVP, then it is just, you know, the perfect tool for you. And so on my journey with data and getting to predictive analytics, this has just been like the best thing ever for me to see actually happening. The second thing that I'm really excited about is we've just purchased a company called Glint, which is an employee engagement.
All of our people analytics, HR analytics members rave about that platform.
Yeah, because it's AI driven.
They love it.
To particularly to managers where they have direct access into the tool, and again they can pull their own data easily. And what's really, really cool about it is the time lag is not there. So having done employee satisfaction surveys for donkey's years, I know I look 12, but I'm a little bit older. Is that, you know, that you'd often have to wait maybe 6-12 weeks to get data. This is instant. And I think that's the world we're in right now, where everything is instant gratification. And we're no different in the talent space. We want our data really, really quickly. So I think there's lots more opportunity. I mean, the acquisition just finished, you know, a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah, it was a few weeks ago, right? Yeah.
But I think in terms of that full talent lifecycle, if we start to think about how we could leverage this company, everything from your candidate sentiment right through to your employee engagement, potentially even your offboarding and the whole way through. And imagine understanding, you know, your internal workforce in a much better way. And I think that's the big difference for LinkedIn going forward is up to now, we've been very focused on external marketplace information. So we were coming to companies and to HR professionals saying, this is what's going on in the marketplace with your competitors, with skills, etc. Now we'll be able to tell you that. Plus, hey, we actually know more about your internal employees than you do. So not only because they have a LinkedIn profile, but also if we're using some of these other tools, we will have so much information to be able to help you build more effective talent strategies. So we're only getting started. I'm nearly 7 years with LinkedIn and I'm actually more excited now than I was back in early 2012.
I actually had an opportunity to play around with the tool at the event in London.
Fantastic.
Yeah, it was amazing. I didn't have too much time, but even then I was like, wow, like if I want to move into this region, I have all of this data just at my fingertips straight away to be able to do that. It's just unbelievable how far we've come.
And I used it, you know, the example you gave of being offered a sales job in Dublin, you know, before it was even launched, I was playing with it, as I mentioned, through our product engagement. And so we built our business in Dublin, the hub of our region here in EMEA, from like about 250 people up to 1,300 now, based on using the tools and the insights from that. So if it worked for me, it can certainly work for other talent professionals.
Yeah. And that is literally one of the biggest challenges that companies have when they're moving into new markets or new areas or looking for talent. Mm-hmm. Does that talent even exist there as well? And the fact that they can do that in real time and get that information that quickly is just...
And there's so many user cases we have. You know, one company, cybersecurity in London, wanted to open a second hub. And then when we looked at the data, actually, they ended up opening that hub in Belfast. Who knew that cybersecurity was such an in-demand skill in Belfast? But there you go. So there's lots of what we call hidden gems out there that we can help companies find where to be and where to scale.
One of the things I always ask you, because along the journey, I've realized from speaking to people like yourself that the real successful leaders as well, they've failed a lot and in a good way. And in almost their response to me is, Chris, you know, I have to be willing to put my job on the line to make sure I do what's best for the company and the business almost. And sometimes the senior leaders above you may not agree, but if you truly believe in what you do and you know it's what's best for your employees, you have to push despite the fact it may end in you losing your job, right? And that's not even an extreme case that I'm putting out there to you guys listening. That's real. That's a reality for a lot of the leaders that I speak to as well. And because a lot of times I'm worried that when I hear interviews with HR leaders and even events, it's always the good, the rosy, the great days, the fantastic. No one talks about the sleepless nights. No one talks about the stress, the toll it has on family and friends, etc. So I was hoping you could share perhaps one of your biggest failures that you've had that you've learned from along your journey. Because I think it's really important for other leaders to hear that they see everyone like yourself and the other leaders are like, wow, how successful these people have been. But it's not always been that way.
and sometimes it comes at a cost. So absolutely. I think, I'm not sure I would call it a failure.
I don't like that word either, by the way.
One of my most challenging times, I was living in the Caribbean, which doesn't sound so challenging.
Yeah.
But I was the group HR director for a large telecoms provider supporting 32 countries around the world. I was traveling 70% of my time. I had a very large HR function, you know, literally dotted between, you know, Jamaica through to, you know, Fiji and Tonga and Asia Pacific. And I was working for the CEO, and I had to attend the board meeting every single month and present to the chairman and the vice chairman and the board members, which is a very different proposition to just working with a senior leadership team. Mm-hmm. You know, the things that they're looking for updates on and the conversation you have is at a whole different level. But what I realized over time was that it really truly didn't value people. And it didn't matter how much I tried to push these senior leaders to truly understand and unlock that opportunity, they were never going to get it. And so, you know, my health took a big hit. I was having nosebleeds, ended up in the doctor with, you know, very high blood pressure. And I just had to sit and have a chat with myself and go, okay, what can I actually achieve here? And is this the place for me? And so I went to the CEO and I said, here is my proposal. These are all the things that you need to do as an organization to scale. I genuinely believe that if you deliver on these, you will not only make more revenue, but you will have a happier workforce, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. The choice is yours. If you are not interested in moving the company forward in this way, I'm just not the right person for you. And so I ended up resigning for that company and leaving with no job to go to, nowhere to live. I mean, literally packed my bags, came back to Europe with my tail between my legs to some degree, and decided just to take 2 months off and just kind of rethink what I wanted for my future career. Now, I got a lot of experience, don't get me wrong. I had been working in Dell prior to that organization, and I think I learned more commercially in that job as the group director in telecoms than I did in my 5 years in Dell, just in terms of understanding the profit and loss and you know, how to drive OpEx down, et cetera. But it nearly killed me. And yeah. So I came back and I went traveling and I was sitting in a hotel in Thailand and I decided I'll go check my emails and my in-mails. And lo and behold, there was a message on LinkedIn from LinkedIn. Would you be interested in a position here in Dublin? I had no intent. I'm Irish, had no intentions of moving back to Ireland. Actually was moving to London, believe it or not. Mm-hmm. And yeah, and I've never looked back since. So I kind of believe sometimes things happen for a reason.
Yeah.
You have to have a moral code.
Yeah, and you stood by it. And I think, and as I said, when you went in that meeting, you was like, this is what mm-hmm. I truly believe is in the best of the business. It's going to drive employee engagement. And of course, that's going to lead to higher revenues, etc. And if he wasn't to move, then you walked away. And
it was a really hard thing to do. You know, I was living in a beautiful part of the world, living a bit like a rock star, you know, tax-free earnings. You know, it was a lot to walk away from. But I genuinely believe in having core values that you live your life by. And as a professional, I believe very strongly that they're important. You know, oftentimes, as you know, particularly if you go from a startup to a big company, there are moments in time where your integrity can be questioned. And it's important to have those values and no, this is my line. I will never cross it. Mm. And so even though it all worked out well in the end, it was a big risk to take at the time, but I think it was worth it.
Yeah. And I'm so happy I asked that question now, because I know there's going to be so many people that are listening to this show right now that are either in a similar position right now in a company like that, unfortunately, because there are many out there. I can actually know many personally out there that perhaps need to hear that from someone like yourself to know, okay, this is I'm not the only one. As we always know, guys, everyone thinks that they're the ones in that position. There's many people that have been in similar positions.
Yeah, and you have to figure out what's important to you, you know, and find a company that has those same values. And that's why, you know, employer branding and creating a great culture and then selling that culture to the external world is so important, because mm-hmm. that's what candidates are looking for now. They want those values to be matched. And for me, you know, LinkedIn has just done a tremendous job in helping match my core values. And it's not always the stuff that it is actually spoken widely about either. It's the stuff that happens at the right times when they mean the most. You know, just one example of that is Pat. As a, you know, she has this philosophy, treat people beautifully. And, you know, it's easy to say that, but, you know, what does it actually look like? And what, you know, tangibly, what does that feel like? And I felt it, you know, when I, my father was dying from cancer, my house got burgled, then my house flooded, literally all in the space of 2 months.
Wow.
And I rang Pat in tears one day as a CHRO and said, look, I just can't go to this offsite. You know, I'm literally, you know, my I've nothing left. And she said, you don't need to do a thing. I'm going to book you into a spa and I'm going to get somebody to come in, clean up your apartment, and we're going to move you. And she used the LinkedIn relocation team to help me find somewhere else to live. And like, honestly, I will always... I'll never forget it. I'll follow that woman to the ends of the earth, you know. If she asks me to go work in service now, I'll consider
that
it.
That was a Pat Lord or...
Not right now, Pat. Another few years.
She's going to listen to this now and call you up and be like...
But it's those important moments where you really see what a company is all about and will they really lean in and help people? And I think the more we become a technology society and the more we're using AI, et cetera, the more we need humanity. And that's where we as talent professionals, this is going to be our era. I have no doubt about it, because we are going to bring the human in human resources back to the table.
Amazing. Well, look, that leads us quite nicely to the quick fire round, Wendy. Before we wrap up, I'll ask you a few questions. And it's just like, no one's prepared for this. And it's 5 questions and you've got 30 seconds to give us some amazing answers. Are you ready?
Okay, go for it.
What was the number one thing that was holding you back from becoming a senior HR leader?
Myself and my own confidence.
Fantastic. What was the best piece of business advice you've ever received?
Read. Make sure you're reading lots of material about the industry you're in and just the world in general.
Could you share some internet resources you use to stay up to date with current events? Everyone normally says LinkedIn, so you're not allowed to say LinkedIn, because LinkedIn's obviously the number one online resource that you use. Any other resource that you use to stay up to date with current events?
Yeah, I'm prolific. So I listen to TEDx every morning as I'm putting my makeup on. I'm listening to podcasts in the car. I am reading Harvard Business Review. HR Magazine from the UK, I think, is really good. And then just generally kind of scouring the internet for particular topics that I'm interested in. Amazing. So yes, I'm pretty much on every social media outlet.
Good. Well, I'm not surprised. And then lastly, what's one thing around your business and your current role that you're most excited about?
I am most excited about Talent Insights and how we can see more and more companies using this data themselves to create massive impact in their organizations.
Amazing. Well, look, Wendy, thank you so much for taking time out to join us. I'm really happy I managed to get you on the show. For like, I've known you through LinkedIn for so many years.
Thank you so much.
That's all right. Before we wrap up, if there's one parting piece of guidance you can give to other leaders that are on their journey to where you are today, you know, developing HR leaders, what would that be? And then secondly, if our listeners want to reach out to you directly, what would be the best way for them to do so? I think I know the answer to that, but I'm going to let you answer it anyway.
So I'll start with the latter first, which is, you know, use LinkedIn. It's a wonderful tool. And connect with me on that for sure. In terms of biggest tip, I would say, one, have confidence in your own ability. Don't hold yourself back like I have done in the past. And number two is, don't be afraid of data. Lean in, go spend time with your data people. If you don't have any, go find some. They will teach you some amazing things. And thirdly, I would think, you know, don't put any limits on yourself or your team. There's so much more opportunity for us as HR professionals to do whatever the hell we want to do.
Amazing. Well, guys, as always, you know to head over to hrdealers.com. You'll find the show notes from the episode, everything that's been discussed on the show. There'll be some links in there to the talent intelligence solutions as well. So if you guys want to check that out, you can go over there as well. What's the best way for them to learn more about that? Get in contact with you directly, Wendy, or
yeah, or you can just go onto the LinkedIn platform and check out some of the links in there for sure. Yeah,
well, I'll put them all in the description for you guys. Apart from that, Wendy, thank you for taking the time out to join us, and wish you all the best. Happy New Year. Enjoy Christmas, the holiday period, and let's get recharged for the new year, because I'm sure 2019 is going to be a very interesting time for you.
Yeah, and the very same to you. I'm going to be spending my Christmas in the Caribbean, going back to my old haunts. So I'm very excited.
Oh, amazing. All right. We'll see you later.
Take care. Bye. Bye now.